Okay, this is plugged in.
This is plugged in.
And the sound is connected.
And the sound is connected.
And my headphones are working.
And my headphones are working.
And somebody's repeating everything I say.
And somebody's repeating everything I say.
You're silly.
Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. I'm your host, Lance Huntsman.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Huntsman.
This show is about families getting to heaven. Our family is heaven bound.
You should come too.
And welcome back. It's another week. It is a beautiful day outside. I really wish that we were outside playing right now or doing something. Maybe when we're done recording, we will go outside. Today we're recording episode number what?
Three.
Number three. That's right. Three episodes. And we're excited. I tell you, I'm having so much fun being able to do this with my daughter. And eventually, probably with both of them. Well, when Michaela gets a little bigger, she's going to start helping us out too, isn't she? Mm-hmm. Today, Christmas break is finally over for the Huntsman Household Homeschool Association. And Taylor is in, what grade are you in right now?
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten. So you started school back today, Taylor. What subjects are you taking?
Prayer and song and phonics and math and Bible study and zoology and Greek.
Wow. Prayer and song. Is that how you start every morning?
Yeah.
And then what did you say? Phonics?
Yeah.
Are you writing words and practicing your letters?
Yeah.
Are you reading yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the biggest word you ever read?
Giants.
Giants, that's the biggest word you ever read. All right, and you're doing zoology. What is zoology about?
Animals.
Animals. But you don't really like animals, do you?
Yes, I do.
You do? What do you want to be when you grow up?
A mommy.
You want to be a mommy. Mm-hmm. I know you do. You talk about that a lot. But you also told me that you wanted to be, so you want to have a job when you grow up. What kind of job do you want to have?
An animal doctor.
An animal doctor. I think that's your two favorite things to talk about, is being a mommy and being an animal doctor. And we have some animals at home that live with us that you might get to practice doctoring sometime if they get sick, don't you? Mm-hmm. But, well, we're going to start episode 3 today, and it just so happened you said I really wanted to get you to say an animal doctor because I know that's what you wanted, but the first thing you said was to be a mommy. And today, when we start studying, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and then later we'll go back to Matthew chapter 1 and look at that a little bit. And do you remember Joseph and Mary in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Mary, we're going to find out, is going to get to be a what?
A mommy.
A mommy, that's right. And so we're going to find out about the birth announcement of Jesus. He's not going to be born yet today in our Bible study. But we're going to talk about when Joseph and Mary found out that he was going to be born. And that's going to be so neat. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Before we do that, do you know what it means to get married?
No.
No? When people get married, you saw pictures of Mommy and Daddy's wedding, didn't you? And what did Mommy wear?
A wedding dress.
A wedding dress. Was it pretty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was all white?
Mm-hmm.
And was it shiny?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what did Daddy wear?
I don't know.
You don't know? It was a suit. It's called a tuxedo. And Mommy and Daddy got dressed up real nice. And we went to the church building. And our friends and family got to come be there with us. And somebody performed our wedding. And they stood in front of us and they prayed with us and we read some Bible verses together. And Mommy and Daddy made a promise to each other that we would stay together for the rest of our lives and that we would love each other and that we would take good care of each other. And we promised God that we would stay together and that we would love each other and take care of each other. And then we got to give each other pretty wedding rings to show each other how much we loved each other and to show the whole rest of the world, we're married, we're taken, and you can't have us. And that's what that was for. And so people that are not married want to find somebody to get married to. Well, some of them don't want to find somebody, and that's okay. But people that want to get married have to find somebody they want to get married to. And that person should be a Christian person who is going to help them get to heaven. And when they decide to get married, they'll make a promise that they're going to be together and they'll always stay together. And God says, I like that promise because I like families. Okay? But before Mommy and Daddy got married, when I asked her if she wanted to marry me, that's called getting engaged. And I had a special ring that I gave her when she said, yes, I want to marry you. And she got to start wearing that ring. And that ring meant, I'm going to get married. And we weren't married yet, but we already knew we were going to get married. And really, we just were waiting on making plans and sending out invitations and finding decorations and things so we could have a pretty wedding. So getting engaged means that we're going to get married, even though we're not married yet. And then when you finally get married, you're making a promise to each other and to God that you're going to be together forever. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, when we start learning, when we start reading about Joseph and Mary, they were engaged. They already found each other, and they decided they wanted to get married, but they hadn't been married yet. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a girl who wasn't married yet, but was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. Those of you parents that are listening along, especially if you're reading in the text, you'll see what I'm doing. I'm choosing to skip a word here because I'm not ready to try to teach that word to my four-year-old yet. And so if you have older kids and you want to go ahead and talk about what else is going on in this text, that's fine. But for now, we're just going to talk about verse 27. He visited a girl who was not married yet, but was engaged to a man named Joseph. And it says that Joseph was one of the descendants of David. Last week, in episode number 2, we talked about Jesus' family
tree.
And do you remember the two people that we talked about that were in that family tree?
Abraham
and
David.
Abraham and David, that's right. Matthew told us that David was part of Jesus' family tree because David was a king. And now Luke is saying the same thing. He says that Joseph was one of the descendants of David. And the girl's name was Mary. So it says an angel visited Mary. Do you know what an angel is?
Yeah.
What is an angel?
It's a person that can fly.
Is it a person that can fly?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe. You've seen pictures of angels and statues of angels, haven't you? Mm-hmm. And what do they have?
Wings.
You know what? That's not really what the angels in the Bible were like. There were some. We won't try to learn about the different kinds of angels and the different kinds of heavenly creatures that God created. The Bible tells about some different ones. So in the Bible, an angel is not exactly the same thing as the pictures that we see and this little statues and things that we see, that is usually a pretty lady with wings and a little ring on top of her head that's called a halo. That's really not what the angels in the Bible are like. Although, sometime we might talk more about angels, but the word angel means a messenger. It means somebody sent with a message. And sometimes that somebody might just be a person that God said, hey, I want you to go tell somebody this message. Last night when we were visiting at some friend's house, you got to go back in the playroom and play. And Michaela stayed in the living room with Daddy. And when it was almost time to go, I said, Michaela, go tell Taylor it's time to clean up the toys. And she walked back there, and did she remember to tell you the message?
Mm-hmm.
She did? So she was being a messenger for me, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Because she was taking that message. So sometimes a messenger could have just been somebody delivering a message. But sometimes when we see the word angel in the Bible, and it means a messenger, it means a very special messenger. It's somebody that lives in heaven with God, and God sends them down to earth to give a very special message. So this angel in verse 26 had a name. Do you remember his name? Gabriel. So how do we know if Gabriel was the kind of angel that lived in heaven with God, or if he was just somebody that God said, I want you to go deliver this message? Do you know how we can find that out?
No.
Well, if we just keep looking in the Bible gives us more clues and we can figure these things out. Still in Luke chapter 1, I'm going to turn one page backwards in mine to verses 18 and 19. Before Gabriel went to visit Mary, he went and visited somebody else. And their names were Zacharias and Elizabeth. And guess what he told them?
What?
He told them they were going to have a baby too. And their baby's name was going to be John. And John had a very special job to do. And he was going to tell people that the Messiah was coming. But when Gabriel went to tell Zacharias and Elizabeth that they were going to have a baby, Zacharias said, I'm not so sure about that. We're getting pretty old and we never have had a baby. How do I know that's really going to happen? And here's what Gabriel said in Luke 1, verses 18 and 19. In verse 18, Zacharias said, how am I going to know this for certain? In verse 19, the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel. I'm the one who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring to you this good news. Where did Gabriel say he came from?
Heaven.
Heaven. He said, I'm the one that stands in the presence of God. I'm not just making this up. It's not a trick or a funny story. He said, God sent me from heaven, from the presence of God, to tell you this special message. Now, we can go back to the Old Testament and we can find out a little bit more about Gabriel too. Do you remember some guy that was thrown into a den of lions?
Daniel.
Daniel, that's right. Did you know an angel visited Daniel?
No.
In Daniel chapters 8 and 9, Daniel saw one of God's angels. And guess what his name was?
I don't know.
Was it Gabriel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who is God's other angels?
Well, there's some others. There's a bunch that don't have names. There was another one named Michael. And we read about him a couple of times. And there's a bunch that don't have names. But Gabriel went to visit Daniel in Daniel chapters 8 and 9. You can read about that. And you know what? That was about 500 years before he visited Mary. So that couldn't have been just some guy that God said, hey, I want you to go give a message, because people don't live that long. But Gabriel was one of God's heavenly angels, and God sent him on a very special job to tell a very special person, Mary, about a very special baby that was going to be born. So Gabriel tells Mary that she's going to have a baby. Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But Mary was very confused at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was, or what kind of greeting. So why did he come in and say that to me? She said, "I don't understand." Verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." That means you are a very good person, and you trust in God and put your faith in God and you worship God. And he's glad that you do all those things. That makes God happy. Okay? You have found favor with God. Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him
Jesus."
That's right, Jesus. And it says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." So, in verses 31 through 35 we just read, Mary wasn't married yet. Remember, she was engaged, but they didn't have their wedding. She wasn't married yet. And if she's not married, she can't have a baby yet. You can't have a baby all by yourself. So, the angel said, "Mary, you're going to have a baby." And she said, "Wait a minute, that doesn't work. I can't have a baby all by myself. There must be something wrong." And the angel said, "No, there's not anything wrong. The Holy Spirit sent from God is going to give you a baby, and that's going to make it very special." Verse 32 says that God is going to make that baby a king, that he's going to get David's throne. And again, last week in episode 2, we learned that King David was in Jesus' family tree. So that means Jesus is going to get to be the king. And verse 33 tells us that Jesus' throne is not going to be a normal throne in Israel. It's going to be one that lasts forever. So that means Jesus is going to be a very special baby, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Do you think Mary is excited to get that kind of news?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think... Would you be excited if God said, "You know what, Taylor? I've been watching you, and you pray all the time, and you sing out loud when you worship me, and you trust me, and you have faith in me." Would it be neat to hear God say, "I'm proud of you. I picked you for a very special job"?
Mm-hmm.
That would be really neat, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Mary got to hear. And what was that special job going to be? What was she going to do?
Have a baby.
Which baby was she going to have?
Jesus.
Jesus. Baby Jesus. So Mary is excited because she has a very special job and God picked her out for that job. But you know what? At first, Joseph wasn't as excited as Mary was. Matter of fact, if we go back to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 18 through 25, Joseph found out that Mary was going to have a baby. But remember, they weren't married yet, and Joseph knew that she couldn't have a baby all by herself, and so Joseph thought something was wrong. And if we read, starting in verse 18, it says, "The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph," that word betrothed means engaged. They weren't married yet, but they were going to get married. "When they had been engaged, before they got married, she found out that she had a baby that the Holy Spirit gave her." And verse 19 says, "Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." He said, "Wait a minute, something's not right. She's not supposed to have a baby in her tummy yet. I better send her away and we better just not get married." That's what Joseph thought. He might have been scared or confused. He didn't understand. And so he thought, well, we can't get married because something's wrong. So guess who do you think came to visit Joseph?
The angel.
That's right. The angel this time visited in a little different way. He didn't show up and talk to Joseph, but Joseph had a dream, and the angel was in Joseph's dream. Okay, look here, verse 20. It says, when he considered this, when he decided, well, I'm just going to send her away and we're not going to get married. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who's been conceived in her was put there by the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And verse 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he did just as the angel of the Lord commanded. So Joseph had a dream, and an angel told him in his dream, it's okay, there's not anything wrong. Mary has a baby in her tummy already because God put it there. And he said, Joseph, you need to go ahead and get married to her and be a family and help her raise up baby Jesus until he is old enough to do his special job. And do you know what Jesus' special job is?
No.
The angel told Joseph it was going to be to save people from their sin. And that's, we're going to keep studying through the life of Jesus and everything he did and everything he taught. And we're going to learn how Jesus is going to do that, is going to save people from their sin. But Joseph and Mary had a very special job ahead of them. When they got married, she was going to have a baby, and that was a very important baby, because he is going to be the king. God is going to put him on his throne, which is in where?
Heaven.
That's right. And he is going to save all the people that would let him. He is going to save them from their sins. Is Mary a pretty special person?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. And we know Jesus is a very special person for what he's about to do, don't we?
Me and sister have one of those little toy sets, a baby Jesus one.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
And who all comes in that toy set?
The baby Jesus. There were animals, and baby Jesus was supposed to be inside there. And you have some little trees.
That's neat. Do you like learning about baby Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what did we learn today? What was the angel's name?
Gabriel.
And engagement, or to be engaged, is to promise that you're going to get married and not be married yet, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph and Mary were both very good people that loved God, and they were going to get married. And did they get married?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. And did they have a baby?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was Jesus Joseph's baby?
Mary's baby.
Mary's baby. Joseph wasn't really his daddy. He was kind of his daddy. He got to raise him. But really, God is Jesus' father, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason Jesus is very special, huh? Well, as always, Taylor, thank you so much for helping me do these Bible studies. And I'm really proud of you, and I'm glad this is something we get to do together, because this is a lot of fun. All right, and now we're at the part of our show where we change gears again. I have with me, as I almost said, as always, it won't be always. Eventually, I'm going to take a few opportunities to have some guests maybe come on and appear for this section. But today I have with me again my wonderful wife, Christy. Christy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You're doing great now, aren't you?
Yes.
Kind of had a rough weekend, and actually I thought I was going to need to get my first guest this week, but Christy's feeling better now, and we're all happier for it. Our topic for this week is something that it kind of came to me. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my last really 2 weeks project that, for someone who knows what they're doing, should have been an afternoon project. But our washing machine line was backed up. There was water spilling out around the washing machine, and so
I decided to see if I could fix it myself. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but I cut through our electric line trying to find the sewage line. I found and dug up the sewage line to put in a clean out so that I could, you know, get in and fight this clog, only to find out the washing machine does not drain through our sewage line. It's got its own line somewhere else. I dug the other line up, found two different places in that line where there were clogs or breaks or things causing problems. And so it was a very frustrating couple of weeks, and I spent more money than I would have liked to have spent. And kind of in the middle of all the something that's very frustrating for me, because I'm not good at handyman projects like that, in the middle of having the yard dug up, having tools out, trying to keep the dog out of my face, trying to check to see if water would go through the pipes to find that it's leaking and creating mud, which is just more of a problem, my wonderful four-year-old approached me and said, "Daddy, I want to help." And it's very difficult to be frustrated at a project like that and be able to say, "Okay, sweetie, sit down. Here's what we're doing. You know, you hold this and off we go." It's very much a temptation to simply say, you know, "Not right now. Go find something else to do." And I may have told her, "Not right now. Go find something else to do." I don't remember now. But after a little while, she was being persistent, and so I did let her come out and not really help, but just play around me. There wasn't very much I could do. I was just trying to dig and cut tree roots, and I couldn't give her a full-size shovel or especially a hatchet. So she was not helping me in that project, but I did let her play. And going back and forth and trading some tools and things, I would come back to find my hole that I was cleaning out filled with sticks that she was placing in there because she was building something, and I don't remember what she called it. She's very good at making up words for everything that she does, and it's very cute and it's very sweet. And, you know, I would wait until she moved on to something else before I destroyed her creation to continue digging. But that just kind of got me thinking as parents, and especially as being the dad, being the one who is away during the day, during the week, and not being here with the girls all the time, coming home, you know, maybe being tired from work or maybe being super busy because of extra activities that are going on, it is sometimes easier for us to tell the kids, "Run along and find something to do. Daddy needs to just sit and relax." And if we're not careful, we can ask them to run along and find something to do to the point that we're not really spending a lot of time with them anymore. Now, it's different for Christy, who is a stay-at-home mom, homemaker, launderer, carpooler, teacher, you know, homeschool teacher, all the different things. She spends all day with them, a lot of times in a structured way, especially with going through school and things with them. And she gets to spend time with them, but still sometimes I know she has that, you know, "Look, Daddy, please take them somewhere. I need time for me," just like Daddy feels like when he gets home from work. I've been working all day. I need some time for me. And so no matter what role we're in, something to be conscientious of is stopping and taking time to do things for and with our kids. And they want to help. Little ones especially want to help. And it's not always easy to let them help with certain tasks. And when that's the case, I think we need to try even harder to find something special to let them do with us. So Christy, why don't you tell about some of the ways that you make sure to give the girls, you know, time to either help you or, you know, fun time instead of just, you know, "It's time for school, it's time for meal, it's time for this, sit down and do what you're told." What kinds of ways do you engage them outside of that structure?
Well, like Lance said, we do a lot of, we have a lot of structured time together, and it would be really easy. It is really easy sometimes just to say, okay, I've spent all day with you. I have given you 100% of my attention, and just kind of put them away for the rest of the children to go play by themselves. But they also need, they really do need that one-on-one play free time with me and with Daddy. And that's hard to give sometimes because I'm a very schedule-oriented person. I like my checklists and I plan out my days. And if my day is going in a certain way and I'm getting things done and I'm going down my list of check marks and one of them comes up to me and asks to do a craft, most of the time my instinct initially is, we'll do it later. But I have to really catch myself and say, okay, the laundry or the dishes can wait. We can sit down and do this craft. Or on the flip side, I find myself a lot of times I got in a bad habit of, I would tell them, well, we can't do that craft right now, or we can't bake cookies right now, or we can't do X, Y, Z right now. We'll do it later after dinner or whatever. And then later after dinner would come and it was the end of the day and we were tired and we were grouchy and maybe they didn't quite remember. And so we just blew it off. And that's something that I've been really working on, because if you tell them that you're going to do something, if you tell them that you're going to bake cookies or work, play bracelet loom with them or play a board game with them, sometimes, you know, my 4-year-old doesn't necessarily always remember and hold you to it.
But a lot of times she does, though.
Yeah, that's true. But that's something that as parents we really need to work on, because not only does that build, if I'm blowing that off at the end of the day, as a Christian, that's dishonest. Number one. Number two, it's building a habit with them that maybe I'm not always true to my word. And they need to be able to trust mommy or daddy and understand that if I say we're going to do this at the end of the day, or we're going to do this at this time, then we need to sit down and do it. And even if I am exhausted, we need to sit down and do it. And that's probably been the hardest thing for me as far as making time for them is actually at the end of the day when we're really tired, when I've said I'm going to do something with them, just making sure that I do it. And also, it gets really, Taylor's better now that she's a little bit older, but Michaela really likes to help with laundry and things. And it's really tempting just to tell her to go play in the other room because I can get it done 20 times faster when she's not pulling everything out of the dryer for me. But she really loves to take each piece of laundry and hand it to me and then take one more piece and hand it to me. And sometimes she drops it and sometimes she runs in the other room and plays and then comes back. And it takes so long. But I really have to... I really made an effort to get over the time difference there, because she's not only is she spending time with me in not quite the structured way that we do sitting around the school table, but she's spending time with me learning how to be responsible and how to take care of a home. And I think that's really valuable too. And if we spend our entire motherly lives telling our children, oh, I can do this better, I can do this faster, just go do something else, then they don't build those habits for themselves.
Yeah, it's building that trust, you know, that what we say we'll do, we're going to do. They learn to trust us. We're certainly building habits within them. And I think there's something else we're reminding them, that we do love them, that they are special to us, because they are. Our children are the most amazing blessing that God has given us, and we need to not let the busy world around us muddy that for us. And so even if it's helping with the chores, like again, the laundry is something Michaela gets excited about doing. I mean, she loves being like mommy and helping with that. Taylor, for Christmas this year, on her own, all by herself, Christy took her into Tractor Supply, and every year since she's been a year old, I think, Christy will let her pick out anything she wants to get Daddy for Christmas. There's not really any guiding or any help. It seems like maybe one time she came up with something, a baby doll or something, and Christy said, well, that might not be something Daddy wants. Let's try again. But other than that, she just lets her go. I've tried doing that, and I guess because Mommy is a girl like Christy, then she assumes that, or Mommy is a girl like Taylor, she assumes their interests are the same, and I almost can't get her out of the toy aisle to shop for Christy, and I don't really have the freedom to say, yeah, let's go pick something out, and it'll be cute. Otherwise, Christy would get dolls and dress-up clothes that don't even fit and, you know, things like that. But every year, Taylor goes to pick out something for Daddy, and she might not even know what she's getting, but it's always something cool or something that I can really use, and I don't know. She and I just have this connection, I guess. But this year, she went in Tractor Supply, and she walked around on her own, and she picked out wrenches, crescent wrenches or adjustable wrenches, and it was a two-pack, and they were pretty large in size. Not huge. Not really the kind that I would use on very many things. I would use them to, you know, maybe work on the car or the lawnmower or something. And she was very clear about this. She picked out that two-pack, the one big one and one small one, so that Daddy could work on, as a tool for Daddy to work on things, and so that she could help. And that is just the sweetest thing in the world. And dads, if you're listening, you need to learn to pick up on things like this, because that tells me, that should be telling me, that she wants to be involved in the things that I do. Even though there's a lot of things that she can't do, she wants to be there. She wants to work alongside Daddy when she can, and I really need to provide those opportunities. And I told Christy, I said, I have no idea what I'm going to let her do to help me use these massive wrenches, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go buy a board, and I'm going to drill a couple of holes in it, and I'm going to put bolts through those holes, and that board is not going to attach to anything. It's not going to be useful in any way, except we're going to sit down together, and we're going to use those wrenches, and we're going to thread nuts onto those bolts. And when we're done, we might take them right back off again and trade places. Or what? We're going to sit and do that together. And because that's something that she wants, and that's quality time together. I've done things with her like that before. She came out in my shop one time, and I was working on something, and she wanted to help. And so I said, okay, you know what? Let's do that. Let's help. You can help me. Let's work on something. And I took a board, and I took some nails, and one of the smaller hammers that I have, and we sat down, and I taught her how to hammer a nail into a board. And we held the nail with some needle-nose pliers so that nobody's fingers got smashed. But this was together time. And this is equally important for everyone, but especially, I know probably a decent amount of the people that find and listen to this podcast may be homeschoolers, maybe, you know, because we have friends and we hear parts of communities where we can maybe advertise this podcast there, and that may be different. If you send your kids off to school all day so that neither one of you see them until the evening time, especially when they get a little bit bigger and they're in basketball practice or sports practice and gone to ball games and gone to band concerts and things like that, I think it becomes even more important to take some time set aside to specifically do things with them. Whether it's, we've kind of discussed chores mostly at this point, helping with laundry or helping Daddy in the shop, but the same thing would go for playing games, playing their games, playing in their playroom, playing with them on the playground outside, going to the park, taking them to the zoo. There could be lots of things. Make sure you're taking some time to spend with your kids. And again, no matter what age, the younger, the more creative you might need to be, because the older they get, the more they can do. But Sometimes when we know Taylor wants to play one of her board games, and I'll admit to you that board games designed for 3 and 4 year old kids are not the most exciting for me to play. But sometimes when she wants to do that, I'll tell her, okay, go in and finish cleaning your room. And if you hurry, you know, go get done real fast. We'll sit down and we'll play together. And while she's cleaning, maybe we clean up the dinner table, you know, and get everything ready. And she comes in and we sit down and we play those silly games. I'm not really a board game person, even if it's not for 3 and 4 year olds to play. And so sometimes it can be even harder to play some of those. But we have played a lot of Candyland and a lot of Headbands and a lot of things like that. And it's reward time for both of you. You're giving them incentive to maybe finish their chores, and that helps you. And you're taking the time to play the games, to spend the time together that they love, and that helps them. And so that's a great way. Another thing recently, we had a member of church, a mother, wife and mother, who got sick. And Christy offered to help, you know, cook a meal and bring it over to help the family out. And the girls, sometimes, especially if we're making something, cake or cookies or things like that, the girls get to help with that, and they love it. That's mommy time, to put the ingredients in the bowl and to stir it up. And Taylor gets to do a lot of things like that. And while the meal was cooking, I was able to sit down with them, and they love to color. They love to draw. They love to craft time. That's just something that our girls love. Other kids might love different things, and you need to just kind of learn and tap into that. But we sat them down, and I helped them, and we made cards, get well cards, to send with the food. And the girls love that. That's time together. That wasn't expensive. That didn't cost us anything except, you know, a little bit of food that we had and a couple of pieces of paper. But it was time together, doing something the girls love. And that's part of church work in general, that they're learning, that they're being trained. We think about others. We serve others. We do things like that. And so it doesn't just mean that you schedule, well, every Thursday evening, whether I like it or not, we'll finish dinner and we'll let the kids pick a game and we have to sit and play it. You know, you think outside the box a little bit and kill 2 or 3 or 4 birds with one stone if you get the chance. But the point is, take the time to come up with things and to do them. We go every year on fall break to a family camp. It's a retreat, a weekend retreat. And one of the things they do, they invite families. Families bring their kids. It's very relaxed atmosphere for little kids that need naps and need diapers changes. It's very comfortable to be in, to come and go. There's wonderful classes, but they focus very hard on making sure we have opportunities to spend time with our kids. And some of the crafts and projects that we did just this last time, Taylor and I sat down and built a little wooden birdhouse. Probably not something I normally, if she wanted to build a birdhouse, would just, you know, go and buy the lumber. I certainly wouldn't have any extra laying around because I don't do a lot of wood projects. But it was neat to set and build that with her. All four of us sat down and made a family flag, like a family crest thing. It was just part of the theme for the weekend, and all the families did this. And we let the girls color pictures in on the flag, and we put some verses that were special, you know, on us. And it was a craft project, but it was time together, and the girls love it. And that flat, it was a pillowcase with sharpies basically. And they were so excited to do that. And when we came home, that pillowcase had to go up on the wall. And I think it's been moved to a different room now, but we're not allowed to take that down. And that was something that was so neat for them. And it's not my idea of decor necessarily, you know, but it was so special to them.
But even Michaela, every time she sees that, she will just nonstop rattle on about mama, mama, pillowcase, mama, mama, flag, mama, mama, color, color, we color, we color flag. And she remembers sitting down together in color, and she gets so excited because we did that and we took time and we sat down together and we colored. One thing that my mom always reminds me of, because like I told you, I'm very list oriented and goal oriented and structure type person, and as such I work towards goals and I'm always looking towards the future. And when I was in high school, it was what am I going to do in college, and when I was in college, it was when am I going to get married, and when we got married, it was when are we going to have, I mean, it was always the next hurdle, and I'm always very goal focused and what do I need to do to get there. And my mom has always been very good about reminding me that no matter where you're going, go, get there, have goals, that's great, but also take time and look around you and actually live your life. And if I'm not enjoying and soaking up my children right now, they're not going to be here always. They're not especially always going to be 2 and 4. And every year that you have with them is so precious. And sometimes we get so caught up in the hustle and bustle and just trying to get from point A to point B that we don't realize, yeah, I need to take this second that I have right now. And it doesn't matter if there's a couple of dishes in the sink or if the laundry is still in the dryer. I can stop and I can focus on my child, and I can sit and play a game that maybe bores me to tears, or I can sit and play dress up even though it's not my favorite thing, but I can soak them up and really enjoy them and let them build some lasting memories of spending time with me instead of just always focused on what I have to do next and what's the next thing and what's the next goal and what do I have to do next week. And sometimes that's really, really hard.
That's right. God gave us the most incredible gift of all, and that is our children. And obviously that comes with frustrations and with tensions and things, but our encouragement to you this week, hopefully we've given you some ideas, some things to think about. Stop, take a minute, take a deep breath, pull your kids aside, no matter what age they are. If they're old enough that you can take them hunting or fishing, go for it. If they're old enough that you can take them shopping or, you know, things like that, take them somewhere. But it doesn't have to be just spend money on them. You know, the point is spend time with them and just enjoy that.
And I always fall into the trap a lot of times of thinking, oh, I have to come up with some grand magical thing if I'm going to spend time with them and come up with this wonderful project to do with them. But seriously, pulling out the box of stickers and a couple pieces of paper, it just makes their day. And it doesn't have to be anything extremely creative or extremely crazy. It can just be crayons. And just that time is the important thing. And they don't know, even though I feel like maybe that's inadequate, it's not inadequate. And that's really also another hurdle to get over.
Yeah, it's not. They love you. They want to help you. They want to be with you. If it's a box of crayons, if it's a nail going into a board that's not even going to go anywhere, just take the time to do it. Hopefully that will give you some ideas and encourage you to pull your kids aside and just do something special with them. Do something neat with them. Even if it doesn't seem special to you, they're going to love it. And I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up for this week. We could probably go on and on, but if you enjoy the show, please tell somebody about it. Share the show with others. We can be found at heavenboundpodcast.com. You can click the contact link, send us feedback, ask us questions, anything like that. And you can find us in iTunes. So if you're just going to the website and playing the show every week, go ahead and subscribe. It doesn't have to be on an iPhone, any data phone that you have an app store on, phone or tablet. You can probably find a program called a podcatcher and subscribe. And every week our show will just instantly pop up right there, ready to be listened to. So subscribe, tell someone about us, and thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you.
We hope your family has been blessed by our time together. You can find more episodes and show notes at heavenboundpodcast.com. While you're there, just click the contact link to say hi or send us questions or comments. We would love to hear from you.